Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Ann Ortley's Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York, and I'm sitting here at my bright red desk on a beautiful Sunday. And what we do here on the Weekly Weather is we talk about the aspects in the week ahead and what they're about and how to use the energy productively so you can move forward, or not productively so you can have a lot of excitement and not go forward. Which, of course, is always your choice, but the idea is hopefully informed, you know, you wear the raincoat, you bring the umbrella, you know, not to walk down that dark alley. But, you know, we always have choice, so I also want to encourage people to choose wisely, choose for the higher vision. It's always more important, or a better path than the lower vision. So this week is going to be very exciting for a couple of reasons. We're finished with the eclipses. The story of the eclipses are still unfolding. I mean, this week we found out that Jill Abramson was fired as the first female editor of the New York Times by her boss, Junior Sulzberger, whatever his name is. And, of course, looking at the charts, it's kind of one of those, oh, yeah. This is an example, people, of the lower form. Okay, we're looking at lower form Venus and Aries, Mars and Libra. And actually, you know, I always, when I watch these people take new jobs, I always go, ooh, not so good. So even though her announcement that she was going to take over for Bill Keller at the Times was made on the eclipse in the spring of, in June, June 2nd or June 6th of 2011, the day that she actually took over the job, this is why closing aspects are so important, okay? She actually started the new job on September 6th, 2011. And the closing aspect for that day was Moon opposite Mars. Now, people write sometimes, why do I care about the closing aspect? Because this is how the matter's going to turn out. So the Moon is in Capricorn, opposite Mars in Cancer. All right? And so we're going to deal with the Mars in Cancer guy, or somebody who has a lot of Cancer stuff, and the Moon is going to fight with him. Moon opposite Mars. So if you've been following the New York Times, it's a really good example. It started on the announcement made on an eclipse, and so there's a culmination during the eclipses. This is an eclipse story unfolding as we watch. And the Moon opposite Mars, you know, when Katie Couric took over at CBS, same thing. I'm like, oh, Katie, bad aspect. That one was a square, okay? So it was a little more choice-based, I think. This one's more of a flamboyant departure, Moon opposite Mars. So we always look at that closing aspect, because it describes, even though it's a few years later, how it's all going to end. So Moon opposite Mars, think of it, Moon in Capricorn opposite Mars in Cancer. So Mars in Cancer, family, right? Family run. A young man, Mars in Cancer. He's only a couple years older than her. He was born in 51. She's born in 54. I'm always a little, you know, my sexism is going to show a little bit on this. I'm always a little bit about people named Junior. You know, they got to work to pass their dad or their grandfather or whoever. So here he is. He's inherited this newspaper, and he's in charge. And since he's been in charge, we've had a lot of problems with the New York Times, whether it's them promoting the war in Iraq with Judith Miller or the plagiarism scandal or whatever. At any rate, Jill Abramson is an old school reporter coming as an investigative reporter over and was part of the cleanup crew, actually, after the last mess that what's-his-name caused at the paper. And so when he announced her promotion to take over for Bill, it was a lovely little moon in Gemini on that eclipse. But Gemini moon, you know, Gemini moons, we kind of watch them because sometimes they change their story. And in Arthur's case, he does have a moon in Gemini. 23 Gemini don't have a time of birth for him. His birth chart, for those of you following along. And this is instructive because this is the story we're all going to be working with this week. September 22, 1951 in New York. And her birthday is March 19th, 1954. So she's behind him. She's last-degree Pisces, but her Venus is in Aries. And she could be a zero-degree Pisces, zero-degree, but probably last-degree Pisces, but definitely Venus in Aries. And, of course, his Venus is in Virgo on the South Node, retrograde. And his Saturn's in Libra, so he's exceptionally thin-skinned with criticism. For those of you who've missed the story, we've been talking the last couple of weeks about Venus being in Aries and Mars being in Libra, and both of them are in signs they don't particularly like. Venus does not like being in Aries. Well, she's viewed as being bossy and pushy and a little argumentative. That would be Jill. But that, of course, isn't the same words they use when men are those things. So I'm always like, oh, yeah, I've heard that bossy, pushy word, too, because I'm a bossy, pushy kind of gal myself. But understanding, you know, the same appellation, same behavior, different names. So anyway, and I have a number of really good friends who were born in this little patch of in this little patch of sky. One of my best friends, in fact, Ann Dunford, and then a good friend of mine. I've got some men friends, then Bill of New York down in Virginia, and a few others that are part of the people I hang with. So this is a tough group that's very smart, knows what they're doing, and are basically very strategic folk. So Jill would be among that crowd. And, of course, she's been a New York Times reader. The New York Times was the Bible. Now, whenever we hear somebody say something like that, we go, ooh, the New York Times was the Bible. And, of course, she's got Venus in Aries, so she's having a Pluto transit to that Venus. So she ran into a little power struggle there. And she's pretty Uranian because Uranus is on her south node. And the boss, Junior, is a Pluto guy because Pluto and Mars are on in Leo joined. So you don't say to him, I don't agree with you, because he expects you to honor him. And she's a Venus in Aries. If she agrees, she'll honor you. But if she doesn't, she's going to tell you what she thinks. So Saturn, of course, is squaring their Pluto. She has a Pluto at 23. He has a Pluto at 22 and 20. So the firing happened. Stuff about salary got leaked. Venus, of course. He's got Venus retrograde in Virgo. Right? So his comment was, well, last year her compensation beat her bosses by 10%. It's like, well, what about those earlier years, which I guess is the issue? Well, the New York Times doesn't underpay its women. Okay, Venus retrograde on the south node. This is a karmic issue for Uncle Arthur. But the other thing to watch is that Venus and Mars are able to either work in a higher form. So I'd heard from one of my clients, Ed, that he and his writing partner and wife had flipped something very well in a meeting. Positively, because they knew to flip the Venus and the Mars and to take a different approach, take the high road, go for the vision, go for what we're trying to accomplish, because Venus and Mars can flip. Lower form, they can do like we're having at the New York Times, where the managing editor, the owner of the paper, is coming out and saying she sucked as a manager. Now, you guys have been in crown corporate politics for years. People don't disparage people in the media like that unless either they're not really thinking very well. They're working with a really, really, really old energy. They're working with the planets in the lower forms, which is what I would say is going on here. Or they're not necessarily listening to their public relations people who say, you don't talk trash about people you fire. So anyway, it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. But this is an example of how we can take the high road or the low road. This is the low road playing out for you with the New York Times ouster of Jill. And, of course, she started the new job with Venus opposite her Mars, okay? The moon opposite her Mars. So Mars in Cancer is a family-run business, or very often fights within the family. And Venus in Capricorn describes her, of course, as a hardworking investigative journalist who's done a lot of mentoring of people. At the same time, Barbara Walters leaves after 85 years of living on Earth and kind of setting up the big get. So we're seeing she's a Libra leaving the stage of the world stage, and Jill, of course, is a Pisces Aries, but I think people would probably describe her more as an Aries. Venus in Aries, and we're seeing this shift change, this shift of the energy. So watch for this, because now, this week, with Mars stationing and turning direct, right, which is what it's doing tomorrow night on Monday night around 9:30 Eastern time, now we're going to have a whole huge seismic shift in the story because the direction's changing. Now, we've been working with this direction shift since December, Christmas time, when Mars hit the degree that it's stationing on today, 9 Libra, which, of course, is opposite Jill's 10 degrees Aries, and it's also on Arthur's Saturn in Libra. Not so good, Arthur. This is not a good transit for you. And what our job is to understand that part of what we're looking at here is our ability to change our behavior and do things in a new way. So if he's described as Pluto, we know she's Uranus because she's Uranus on the South Node, an innovative under investigative reporter in a man's industry, rising to be the first woman editor of the Times. And, of course, with the Venus moon opposite the Mars, that's the departure under a separating aspect that's harsh, Moon-Mars, during a war, during a fight. So it's understanding that we want to watch. That's why we watch those separating aspects. So when I talk this week about the separating aspects, make sure you notice what they are, because it's important to know, are they good aspects or bad aspects? Is it going to turn out okay, or is it going to be a little problematic? Now, the day she was fired was actually the day I had my surgery, so I know it's going to turn out okay for her. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with the, you know, the press, and clearly Junior's having some trouble with how he's being portrayed. So our job, when we're presented with it, is we can go higher, like Ed and his wife did, Ed and Janet did. They went higher with the vision. They had been working on something for 3 years and flipped it so it got moved forward. In this case, 3 years. She got promoted on September 6th to 2011. When she was announced on the eclipse in June, it was nice. That was a sextile to the moon in Gemini. But those Gemini moons, Junior's got a Gemini moon, they do change their mind, and they don't always speak the truth so much. Sometimes they do, and they're going to pick on all the Gemini moons. But our job is to understand, watch the closing aspects. This is why it's important, because now we know, moon opposite Mars, it's going to separate with a war. With Katie Couric, when she got CBS News, I went, not going to turn out so good. Diane's doing good. Diane started on a nice closing aspect. So it's important to note these things and watch them as we go, which is why I always say to you, good moon, bad moon. It's not necessarily bad. I mean, in the case of the IRS, when you write the last check, you want to do it on a closing moon that's separating because you don't want them to come back and bother you. But on the cases of starting a job or accepting things or moving forward, it's always important to know what that closing aspect is, because that kind of marks the relationship. And truth be told, even the beginning. You know, I had a woman here. We were planning her wedding, and I said, well, the whole thing is with the wedding is actually like when you first met. That's the DNA of the relationship. It's not necessarily when you get married to them. It's when you met them. You know, my student Yuko always goes, it's got bad DNA, got bad DNA. And if it does have bad DNA, not bad, but if it's got DNA with a closing square or a closing opposition, you can bet there's going to be departure issues that are going to be fairly dramatic in this case that we see with Jill and Junior. So forward we go into the week. So the big thing this week is Mars stationing. And I can't begin to emphasize how important it is for you to pay attention to the story from December that's back in your life, truly the story you've been working on since the beginning of December. Mars has been in Libra. He will be in Libra through the end of July. All right? Now he stations at 9, turns and goes forward. All right? And as he goes forward, what we're going to see is he's going to retrace his steps. And he's going to tiptoe through all those Libra planets. Now, Mars is our planet of how we take action, how we do things, how we partner with people, our relationships. And he's been rolling back and forth in our relationship house. Libra is one of the signs of relationships. It's an air sign, and it's our face-to-face, one-on-one relationships with anything that we partner with equally or we want to partner with equally. So Mars has been dancing in this house and will continue to dance there till the end of July, and he's talking to us about partnerships. So I had one client, and somebody's telling them, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm like, oh, be careful, because I think they want to partner with you, and you might not want to partner with them the way they want to partner with you. So your job this week is there's going to be a lot of reversals in partnerships, or a lot of redefinitions of partnerships, or a lot of changes in how the partnerships go as Mars stations and swirls in the heavens above us and turns to retrace his steps. So the stuff that we've been working on between when he went retrograde on March 2nd, he went backwards on March 2nd at 28, when he's been going backwards since then till now, and now he turns and goes forward. Why is this important? For a couple of reasons. All of the planets in the sky exist to get our ego, our soul, our sun, its purpose in life, to help us reach what we're going to do in the world, right? So when a planet goes backwards, and Mars doesn't go backwards that much, it goes backwards every 2 years. He's not a big backwards kind of guy. When he goes backwards, he asks us to redo, rethink, react on different ways. You know, and sometimes people say, oh, yeah, actions reverse themselves. And that can be true, but also because he's in the sign of air and thinking, our ideas can change. Our ideas about what's possible for us, our vision about who we are, our vision about our relationships, and our understanding about what our face-to-face, one-on-one relationships are important. Everybody's got Libra somewhere in their chart. Everybody's got Mars going through that house, asking us to redefine. So I had a friend, and she was talking today. She came over, and she was talking about, she said something to her granddaughter, and she hurt the granddaughter's feelings, and she could feel the energy hit her like a wave. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry, did I just hurt you by what I said? And the granddaughter went, yes. And she said, I've never hurt the child before. You know, I've never said anything mean to her. I've never, nothing. But she said, it hit me like a wave. I could feel it. And she's got Mars and Libra in her first house for basically the next few months, which means she's been having really, you know, been really being very active, but not necessarily paying attention. So watch your relationships. Watch where when you say something to someone, they may say to you, gee, you know, I really would love to do that, but I can't right now. Or I really want to do this, but I'm not 100% sure how I'm going to. You know, so like in my case, I'm on drugs, right? So I read with my brain. I can't read unless I'm sober. Not that I'm drinking, I'm doing Percocet, but it feels like drinking. So I'm like, okay, I can't read people until my brain sobers up. And I can tell the difference between a trine and a square because I look at that and I go, what's that symbol mean again? And it's understanding I'm in a relationship with my brain right now that I'm, and it is in my relationship house. Literally, it's stationing on my Mercury. So I'm learning how to think again. I'm learning, well, when do I get my brain back? You know, and understanding that we all are in relationship to something. So it's us understanding what that Libra house is about and what we're in relationship to. And in my case, Mars is on the Mercury, so it's my brain. And my communication skills, you know, learning how I'm learning communication on a different level, doing different ways of communicating because my brain's doing different things than it normally does. So watch where the Mars is in your chart. Watch where the pivot happens. It happens tomorrow night. And then we go forward through the end of July, and then we're into Scorpio. Now, Mars, of course, rules Saturn. Saturn's in Scorpio right now. He rules him. So he tells Saturn what to do. And Saturn's all about, he's still going backwards for another couple months till the end of July, but he's all about what your commitments are, right? So we're looking at our partnerships with Mars and Libra, and then we're looking at our deeper commitments and what we've committed to or what we can't commit to anymore. So in my case with the broken foot, a lot of the plans I made for the summer I can't commit to. I mean, I made them in good faith, but now that Mars, I can't do it. I can't go to the beach on Fire Island. You know, sand in the cast, not a fun thing. In understanding, we're reassessing what we're committed to, our vision. So when this baby shifts on Monday night, people are going to be crazy. There are lots of departures, lots of leaving, lots of firing like Jill, getting fired, lots of people quitting their jobs, feeling they can't do it a moment longer. Make sure they have a good plan B, C, D, E, F. Make sure that you're comfortable with that plan A, B, C, D, E, F. If it's, you're involved with them in a romantic way or in a financial way, because people are really taking leaps of faith, truth, they need to do it, but make sure that the plans are in place to support them. Because until Mars clears Libra, which he's in not a happy place when he's in Libra, we can have problems. Now, we can flip it, because Venus is in Aries and Mars is in Libra. They're in mutual reception, so they can flip places, in which case we can take the high road, come up with a new strategy, come up with a new vision, pitch it at the moment, go high. Don't go to the low form. Don't go defending whether how much you paid her in the last year of her salary and leave out the part about the earlier years, because that's really what we're talking about here, Junior. And don't say, hey, you know, I have trouble with strong women, Moon in Gemini, Sun Saturn. You know, I like to be the big guy, and you didn't make me feel maybe as respected as I wanted to feel because you were a little tough. Maybe you scared me a little. Oh, Jill. But I can't say that, but I can say you were bossy. You know, and whenever I hear bossy, I go, oh, not a big penis. And, you know, it, I mean, I'm, and admittedly, I'll qualify, I'm being very sexist there, and I'm also on Percocet, so I take this back if I'm offending people with my feminist wailing here. But it's understanding that that whole energy of when someone says, well, you know, don't explain. Your friends don't need it. Your enemies won't believe it. Do not explain. Jill's being strategically silent in this, so we'll see what happens now that Mars goes direct. But our job is to understand that the planets are really asking us to look at our old behaviors, look at ourselves. And in this case, Junior's getting it from all the media, picking on him. Oh, yeah, you liberal bastion, you said, you know, we're going to be for equal pay, but we don't pay our women equal. Nobody knows about it. So I guess we got caught. Yeah, remember, Pluto's retrograde. Power that is being illegal, corrupt, or not following the rules properly is going to get caught. Uranus is going to win until September 22nd when Pluto goes direct, okay? So we're working with be creative, be strategic, try new things. Don't be afraid. It's very much fun. The other thing that happens this week is Mars enters his retrograde shadow. He's in Gemini. And on the 24th, or when he gets to 24, I don't remember which it is, and this is where the drugs, this is where my brain really misses having itself back. Mars is in Gemini, and next month we have a retrograde in Mercury. Mercury's in Gemini, I'm sorry. Mercury, I meant to say just then. Mercury's in Gemini, and he is traveling between 19 Gemini and 26 Gemini, and his retrograde station is at 24-25. So he gets to his retrograde on the 23rd. So the news that happens on the 22nd and the 23rd of this week, May 22nd and May 23rd, is the Mercury retrograde story. He's going to enter Cancer on the 29th of May, and then he's going to go forward up to 3 and stop, and then he's going to go backwards to 24-25 and stop on June 30th. And then he goes forward and he clears his shadow on July 16th. So this is a lot about renegotiating contracts, renegotiating deals, figuring out what you really want. You know, like, yeah, that sounded really good when we talked about it back then, but now these situations have changed, so now what I would really like is bop, 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 whatever it is. This is your week for renegotiation. And to reiterate what you're looking for, because we hit that retrograde shadow as of the Friday. So we have this little window here while Mars goes direct and before Mercury hits the shadow where we're going to go, oh, that's what the deal is? Okay, this is what I want. So last week, Rose and I were working on a project for one of my clients on for a book that she publishes every year. And we, you know, the communication was back and forth, plus I was doing drugs, plus I was having surgery, so it was a little bit unclear. So we had a vision. We did our vision. She had a vision. She did her vision. And we're kind of in the middle. So I don't know what she's going to use. But at the same time, it's, you know, it's her thing. So here's the stuff. Figure it out. Great. Let's go forward. But I've got a posture on that of I was doing drugs, so it's okay. You might not have a posture of you were doing drugs and it's okay. You might have a posture of, gee, now that those are the terms, now I want to hear about it. So whatever Jill's contract was with Junior that she negotiated, you know, him talking trash about her all over the world, probably falls under the don't say nasty things about me clause that they usually put in those severance agreements. So we'll see if the whole deal's off and she goes back for more. And our job this week is to kind of understand that we're in the mood to negotiate, to renegotiate when Mars stations and goes direct. Now, remember, though, he's going really, really slowly. He just turned, and it takes him like 3 to 4 days to get up to speed, which is when he gets into Mercury's retrograde shadow. So you might just figure out, hey, maybe I need to do this in a different way as he goes direct, right, as he just gets up to speed at the end of the week. And again, with Mars stationing, it will feel like things are in slow-mo, not moving very slow. Now, I know in my case, it's Percocet, sleep, go to the bathroom, eat, Percocet, sleep, go to the bathroom, eat. You know, that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm doing with my Mars station. However you're dealing with your Mars station, it's parked at 9 degrees of Libra, and it's moving very slowly. So the week also has the moon. Now, this is why it's important, these closing aspects. I tell you every week, now you're going to pay attention to them. The 19th and the 20th, the moon is is in Aquarius, and the closing aspect is a lovely trine to Mercury. Great day to negotiate things, kind of come up with deals and contracts and figure out where you're going. The moon is void Tuesday night, and it goes into Pisces 8:18 in the morning on Wednesday. It's in Pisces Wednesday, Thursday, and it goes void at 2:26 in the morning with a square to Mercury. So the things that negotiated on Wednesday and Thursday can have a little more conflict with the contract because moon is squaring Mercury, the contract guy. And, of course, moon's in Pisces, so it's a little vague. It's not so clear. Moon is void in the morning on the 23rd, and it goes into Aries on the afternoon of the 23rd at noon on Friday, just in time for Memorial Day. It means Memorial Day should be hot. Moon in a fire sign, that's good. The 24th, the moon's in Aries. It goes void at 11:58 a.m. on the 25th, which is a sextile to Mercury, light, nice aspects, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Goes into Taurus, void in the afternoon on the 25th, goes into Taurus at 5:30 on the 25th, and then the closing aspect for the Taurus moon is a sextile to Jupiter, so it's nice Sunday night and Monday, which is Memorial Day, and everybody's off and having a good old time. So the aspects are nice. The harsh closing aspects, remember Jill, moon opposite Mars, you want to just kind of pay attention to those harsh ones. Whatever the contracts are you negotiate on the 21st and the 22nd, you're probably not going to be 100% happy with the terms at some point. Moon square Mercury. Not a bad unhappy, but just not as happy as you could be. Aquarius moon, of course, is group humanitarian work. Pisces moon is deep spiritual emotional work. Aries moon is conquer the world work. Taurus moon is grow things and make the world a more beautiful place. In addition to the week ahead with the Mars stationing, which is really so important because finally we're going to be going forward, our sun flies along. It leaves the last degrees of Taurus and enters Gemini on the 20th, which is, of course, the beginning of the third season of spring. We're entering the mutable sign of Gemini when all the little plants can grow up and be big plants and be huge and happy when they're old. So the Gemini Mercury has a lot to do, and that happens on the 20th, that has a lot to do with choices and how we're going to work with them and stuff like that. Sun is pretty happy this week. It's got some adjusting energies, but nothing too major, a little power struggle on the 20th, 19th and 20th, of course. That's, of course, when Mars is stationing. So this is kind of finishing up the power struggle that's been running. Watch who you meet on the 25th, because Sun has a biquintile aspect to the north node of destiny. You might meet somebody really important. Make sure to take their cards and get their contact information. Mercury is going from 22 to 27, so he slowed way down. See how that? He just zoomed right down. Remember last week he was going 2 degrees a week? This week he's going 1 degree a day, you know, kind of pokey boy. And then he's going to station pretty soon, so he's slowing down. He does not have particularly big aspects, so aside from recognizing we're entering the shadow at the end of the week, when he gets to 24 stuff on May 23rd, when he gets to 24 Gemini on May 23rd, we are going to be noticing it. Venus has a few aspects. She is talking to Saturn on the 19th, so she's a little unhappy with the information she receives on the 19th, but that's kind of, Venus in conjunct Saturn is just not a happy camper. And on the 22nd, she's jealous. Envious, envy, envy, envy. Watch for it. You'll see a big envy story playing in the news or playing in the world. Mars station, we already talked about. Mars is also working with envy on the 21st. So we're going to have, because these planets are all kind of clustered together, they're going to set each other off. So watch the envy story this week. A lot of times the envy comes up as jealousy or comes up as somebody wants your stuff and so they kind of spoil it. And it's not in a mean way. It's just they're jealous. You know, what are you going to do when they're jealous? Except live your best life, because that is indeed the best way to handle it. And then, of course, last but not least, is Jupiter trines Saturn on May 24th, and that has a lot to do with the productive energy of the third closing trine. This is taking us back to May of 2000 when you started a new cycle. We're in the harvest phase of that. So this is the third and last trine, the Jupiter trine Saturn, and it's a lovely trine. So I encourage you to take full advantage of it and know that it's got emotions. And on that note, the British lady's saying, I'm done. So I'm done. Have a great week. Happy Memorial Day. Happy Mars Station. Watch those closing aspects. They're a killer. And I will see you all next week. Bye.